The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today, I have Dr. Amir Rashidian. Ooh, I don't know if I said it right. Let's try that again. Rashidian, yes?
That's perfect.
Okay, I'm doing it again. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. On today's episode, I have Dr. Amir Rashidian. He's the founder of the Mid-Atlantic Chiropractic Center. He's the author of The Stress-Proof Life. We're going to be talking about that today. He's been in practice at the Mid-Atlantic Chiropractic Center in Frederick, Maryland since 2006. And in that time, he sees about 18,000 patients a year. So you do the math. He's seen a lot of folks. He focuses on high-tech diagnostics to detect and correct disturbances in the nervous system. So I'm sure he's seeing a lot of nervous system complications, let's put it that way, related to stress. So hence the book, The Stress-Proof Life. So today we're going to talk to him all about that nervous system and how we can work on stress-proofing our life. So Dr. Amir, welcome to The Health Fix.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's an honor. I'm looking forward to the conversation. I can't wait to see what we talk about and where it goes.
It's going to be a good one because I think right now we're still in the COVID pandemic, and depending on where things are at in Maryland, I'm guessing that folks are feeling it nevertheless, whether it's lockdown or not, folks are stressed.
Oh, big time, big time. I mean, it's not lockdown yet, but, you know, there's definitely increased regulations and caution everywhere. And there's a lot of fear. People are afraid.
Yeah, rightly so. We have a lot of different things to be thinking about. And I could go on a whole podcast on that department, but we're going to jump into a little bit of your background in terms of what brought you to wanting to talk more about stress. And first and foremost, you have quite a story. I was looking and doing a little homework on you, and even just coming from Iran and at a young age, there was quite a bit of stress there. So I'm going, this guy's got a lot of educational material for folks on dealing with stress.
You know, the first thing I want to say is stress is not necessarily a bad thing. Stress keeps us alive, and stress is it's a force that causes change in our lives. And I know all the diseases that are linked to stress and all the problems that we have. In fact, you know, you asked, why did I write the book? It's because everybody was blaming stress for all of their problems, which they have a right to. And I don't disagree with them. But I want to teach you to control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And stop worrying about the things you can't control. So you can't control the weather. You can't control what happens, you know, in the political world. And you absolutely cannot control the stock market, obviously. So there's a lot of things you can't control. So what you can control is your response. And so the reason I called it Stress-Proof Life is because you think about the bulletproof vest that a police officer wears. That bulletproof vest keeps him alive if he is shot, right? The bullet won't penetrate the vest, but believe it or not, it still hurts really bad when it hits them. I mean, in fact, it feels like someone, you know, a horse or a mule just kicked them in the chest. I've never been shot before. I've been shot at, but I've never been shot before. And so I know, but I know it's painful, and putting that bulletproof vest on is the same thing. You're not going to be able to stop the bullets from coming at you. You won't be able to stop the stress. In fact, jokingly, I tell everyone, if you want to reduce stress, the best way to do it is to leave your family and quit your job. Most of your stress will go away. So, you know, but talking about Iran, where I was born in first, you know, 5-6 years of my life was just amazing. We were in a tropical area with, you know, it was a vacation resort pretty much. People came there to have a good time and relax, and we lived there. It was really, really nice. And then we had a second home by the beach, which was the Caspian Sea, and the beach was beautiful there. And there's a lot of things to do. And there's this beautiful park across the street from our house. But then the revolution happened and everything turned upside down. The government said, you're not allowed to have two homes. They actually poured into our house and beat my dad and carried him out of there in front of us and took away, basically confiscated the beach house. And little by little, our freedom got taken away. And then there was the war with Iraq and that park across the street, that beautiful place we used to go walk around and enjoy the evenings in, because it's tradition after dinner, you have to go for a walk, which, by the way, is something I know you're an advocate of as well, is, you know, don't sit in front of that screen in the evening. Go enjoy yourself. Nothing strenuous, obviously, because, you know, I know you preach this, is don't raise your cortisol levels in the evenings before bed, obviously. But a nice stroll, you know, get some fresh air, enjoy family. Everybody goes out and goes for a walk. It's really nice. But anyways, they turned that park into a prisoners of war camp. And so they put these big walls around it and barbed wire at the top. And then these POWs would escape every once in a while. And there'd be bullets flying through the streets. And that's what I meant when I said there's been, you know, I wasn't specifically shot at, but we'd be playing soccer in the street or playing hide and go seek. And then all of a sudden you'd hear gunfire and you had to run inside and hide. And then there'd be a knock on the door. And imagine the stress of this one. There's a knock on the door or they would ring the bell, because we had this big yard in front with an orchard of orange trees and then a gate in front of that. But they would ring the bell, and from inside we could open the door. You had to open the door. You have no idea if it's the Iraqi prisoner that just escaped ringing your bell, or if it's the Iranian soldiers that want to search your house that are ringing. So you have to open the door either way, because if you don't open the door and it's the Iranians, then they're going to arrest you anyway. So the soldiers pour into your house, they search all up and down, and they, you know, it's just a scary thing. But I tell you, one of the scariest times was we were visiting family in Tehran, which is the capital. And that night, my mother said, "Don't forget to turn on your radio before you go to bed tonight." So I turned on the radio by my bed. I went to sleep, and there was no programming; it's silent. But a little after midnight, this loud siren blared through the radio, and I flew out of bed, ran out, and with my family, we ran out the door. We ran down the hallway. We went down the stairs all the way down to the basement of this big building, this cold, dark, damp basement where all the families from the building were just huddled together in groups, and they were waiting, and everyone was terrified. And then we heard this roar of this jet plane, this bomber overhead. Then we heard the whistle of a bomb that had just been dropped. And the bomb is getting closer and closer. And you know it's getting closer because the sound is getting louder and louder. You can't tell where it is, though, because it's so high-pitched. It could be right over your head, or it could be a block away. And all you can do is just kind of wait. There's nothing else to do. You just wait, worry, hope, you know, pray. And then we heard the explosion. The walls shook a little bit. The lights flickered. And we knew it wasn't us. We didn't get hit. Someone else had just gotten hit. And just that moment of knowing, oh, this could be the end, is a terrifying thing. But, you know, we're designed to be able to withstand things like that, because that was only a few minutes, you know. But some of these people, your audience, I've listened to some of your messages, which are amazing. We're definitely of like mind when it comes to stress, Dr. Krause. A lot of our listeners right now, they've got these bombs falling on them, but it doesn't stop. Yeah. It's just night after night after night. You know, I went back to the Caspian Sea where our home was, and there was no bombing there anymore, you know. But there were people who had to live there and deal with the bombing every single night. And then the bombs that are falling on our listeners' lives, divorce and cancer and heart attacks and, I don't know, crime and natural disasters and a pandemic.
And that on top of things.
Those are bombs, you know, and we're designed to withstand those things as well, but to a degree. So what's your potential for handling stress? Because we all have this adaptive potential where, you know, we activate it when we go to the gym, right? And I know you are a fan of working out and you exercise early in the morning like I do. Going to the gym and stressing your cardiovascular system, that's stress too. But that the result can be a good thing, you know. But if you exercise the wrong way, you can hurt yourself. The exercise is the stress. But it's neutral. You have to understand it's not good and it's not bad. It's like gravity. Gravity is not good or bad. It can cause you to fall and hurt yourself and scrape your knees or break a bone, but it keeps your house on the ground. It keeps the cars of your the tires of your car on the ground. You know, it keeps you from flying away into space. So you can't say gravity is bad, and you can't say gravity is good. It's neutral. Like fire can cook your food. It can burn your hand. It's neutral. Money's a big one, right? How many people do you think are stressed about money right now listening to this? I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest stresses.
And
you know what? And money is not a bad thing, and money's not a good thing. Money can fund terrorist activity and lead to a lot of deaths. But money can put your children through college. It can put food on the table. It can take you on a nice vacation. So are you telling me money is bad? Are you telling me money's good? It's not. It's how you use it. And even anger sometimes, you know, which is part, can be part of a stress response. It's an emotion that comes up. That's also a force. That's also energy. You know, you can use that anger to do great things. You're like, hey, someone might say they had a heart attack, right? But they're angry with themselves for that hunger, that heart attack, and they're going to change it. And they're going to say, okay, now I'm going to live a different life. So anyways, the stress-proof life is all about teaching you how to put on that stress-proof vest so that the stress, when it hits you, it doesn't knock you down, but it actually makes you stronger. It makes you better because, you know, when you were in first grade, you had to spell three-letter words like cat and bat, and they were hard. They were difficult. And then you were in high school, you're spelling words like encyclopedia. And then you went to college, and his spelling was a piece of cake. Now you're studying concepts like physics and, you know, quantum mechanics and all kinds of other stuff. Your ability to tolerate stress will increase if you allow that stress into your life. You control it. You monitor it. You check your own response with the parameters and ways that you've also talked about. I think you can become better as a result of stress.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost like a great learning tool, almost how your body and you can kind of vibe off of like, oh, this is my trigger. Okay, what can I do about that once you start to get to know it? Because I think there are a lot of folks who are a little bit disconnected. So I'm guessing your book's going to talk a little bit about, okay, recognizing the stressor and then trying to see how you can make things better from there, kind of learning how to improve the process.
100%. You know, everyone, you know, when you say, what's your definition of stress? And they really don't have the definition. They just kind of say, when it's when you're really stressed out, that's what stress is. You know, but that's, first off, let's separate that because that's your response. That's the response, the physiological response to that stress is what it is. But also understand that there's the three components. There's a chemical component, there's a physical component, and then there is a psychological component. And you have to address all three components. Stress can come at you in those three dimensions as well. In the psychological dimension, stress will come at you as bad news or a relationship stress or a fight you had. And stress can come at you in the physical dimension, meaning you've got poor posture. Now you have to sit in front of a computer all day on Zoom meetings as opposed to being in person, whatever it might be, or you've got a long commute, you know, whatever it might be. Postural stress can be stress. If you have a physically intensive job, you're bent over all the time, you know, like a chiropractor, you know, that's physical stress. And then you've got chemical stress. Chemical stress is whatever is not pure for you, you know, being exposed to toxins, chemicals, smoke, all that stuff. And I always say there's two sides to every coin, you know, just like there's two sides to every story. So the coin of the physical, you have to make sure you're getting proper physical stress, like good exercise, but you also have to balance it with rest. And there's a one without the other, it's never going to go anywhere. You have to do both. And then the chemical side, you have to avoid toxins, but you also have to replenish deficiencies. So feed the deficiencies and avoid the toxins, because there's two sides to that coin. And the third coin being the psychological. Yeah, you know, avoid some of the negative stuff, especially later in the day. But you also have to feed yourself with some of the good stuff. You know, hug your cat or dog. You know, I like both. Hug your children, you know, look into your spouse's eyes and just have a moment and just enjoy yourself. That's positive feeding. So it balances, so avoid the negative, but then feed yourself with the positive. And so in the book, those are some of the things we get into as examples of each, because I firmly believe that if if you're somebody who says, I want to get in shape and I want to start exercising to get in shape, you're not going to get the results that you want. You have to attack it three-dimensionally. If you just exercise, you're not going to get results. You might get temporary results, but I promise you it's temporary no matter what. There are these women who work out in my gym. They sit on the exercise bike every morning for an hour every day. I mean, they're in the gym every single day and their bodies haven't changed. And they've been doing that for 10, 15 years. As long as I've been going to the gym, they've been going. But you know why? One of the reasons is they have a magazine in front of them. Yeah. They're reading the magazine while they're pedaling on the bike. So where's your mind? You have to connect psyche with physiology. Very, very important. So if their mind is on something else, like reading about the election results or whatever, their body's not going to respond to extra. And then chemical also, obviously they've got to be eating right and resting and all that stuff.
Oh, that's such a good point about the gym, because I think that's something that I, you know, going to the gym, we all see those folks, you know, they're parked there on whatever machine that they choose. And it's always the same one too, from what I've noticed. But yeah, it's like, and then I see a lot of patients will come in. I'm like, doc, I'm not getting results. I'm not losing weight, but I've been doing 3 hours on the bike. All right, what are you doing on the bike? Oh, I'm reading my magazines, catching up on my, you know, Instagram, and, you know, and it's like, oh gosh. But we're here to change that. Now, one of the things that I was really curious about in terms of the chiropractic world, because I don't live in that world, I don't do adjustments myself. And I found that, you know, there is a component to this posture and how the body stays in stress mode. Of course, opening up the rib cage, all of that, having, you know, the neck way forward, these are all sending signals to our body that something's trying to attack us and we're in, you know, that mode. Now you have, you said the tech devices that can talk about the nervous system, and I've seen the different balances of left to right. Is that the type of machinery you have to kind of tell people what's in balance, what's out, and how do you relate what... I'm asking 800 questions. Let's start first with the tech component. Okay. How is the tech telling you how stressed out someone is based on their posture and their vertebrae?
Okay. It's very simple. You know, simplicity is one of my biggest core values. Everything has to be absolutely simple. So here's something that'll make perfect sense. We, as chiropractor, and I have multiple chiropractors on our team, and we use X-ray mainly to determine where the misalignment, and we call that subluxation, because misalignment is just a misalignment. The word subluxation means it's actually affecting the nerves. It's causing nerve interference. So you can take an X-ray of a dead person and put it next to the X-ray of a living person, and I won't be able to tell you if this person is alive or dead because their bones look the same. But now we measure nerve function, and now we know if they're alive. We know how those nerves are. So someone could have a misalignment. In case in point, a mild scoliosis. We see a lot of patients who have mild scoliosis, sometimes moderate, sometimes severe. But if that scoliosis, that abnormal curvature in the spine, is not causing nerve interference, their autonomic nervous system is functioning properly, and their musculoskeletal system is functioning properly, we don't touch that scoliosis. We don't try to reverse it. We don't try to fix it. We just monitor, make sure it's doing okay, make sure it's not getting worse. It's not affecting anything. But, you know, so the scans, we do a thermal scan because heat patterns represent blood flow around the spine. Cool. And an example is if I get embarrassed right now, and you would expect my face to turn red, but what if only half my face turned red and the other half didn't? You know, that would mean that the nerves that tell the capillaries in my skin to dilate and allow more blood to my face, one side didn't get that message.
Yeah.
So then if I'm checking the base of the skull, which is an area that's, you know, 2 inches apart, very, very close, but one side is 0.2, 0.5 degree Fahrenheit warmer compared to the other side, that's abnormal blood flow, which is a sign of nerve interference. Now, the autonomic nervous system controls blood flow. And we know that because when we get scared, what happens? You become pale in the face, right? And you get scared, blood leaves your face, and actually blood leaves your intestines and stomach and all that stuff. And actually blood leaves your fingertips and toes because it wants to go to the big muscles. Blood leaves your neocortex as well. Goes to the primitive parts of your brain because it's all about fight or flight. You know, I'm scared. I'm worried. You can't think logically. That's why the college student that stays up all night studying And then she's really nervous about the test. And she's totally scared because this test means everything. She's walking into the classroom and she remembers everything because she's been studying all night. But then she trips on the doorway into the classroom, just a little trip. And she does that gasp, you know, a big inhale, turns pale white. And instantly she forgets everything she studied the night before because the neocortex just shut down. She was in fight or flight already. Now she went far left, all the way into fight or flight. So we use electromyogram to measure tone of muscle. Tone is very important. Resting tone. You know how some people, gym rats, you know, who yeah. lift weights all the time, they say, I can't stop lifting because when I don't lift for 1 week, my muscles shrink. I get smaller. Well, you can't get smaller. What's happening is the natural resting tone of that muscle decreases a little bit. You're going to get smaller. You have to be in a body cast head to toe for 3 full weeks, 21 days before you start to lose muscle size, actual size. So you're not losing muscle, but you lose that resting tone. So we measure that on the sides of the spine using surface electromyogram because there should be balance. When there's more tension, more muscle activity on the right side of your neck compared to the left, that tells me there's a tug of war there. That's typically a sign of misalignment, that one side of your body is pulling harder than the other. In fact, it's a condition called dyskinesis, which will burn extra energy as you're sitting, resting in a chair. If one side of your body is more active than the other, it also is a sign of ADHD in extreme cases. So balancing that it helps with that. And we can get into that at some point if you like. Yeah. But another technology we use is heart rate variability. And I think you're familiar with that one is heart rate variability. We use that frequency domain graph to figure out if a patient has enough tolerance for the stress in their life. So if heart rate variability is low, the overall number is low, that means the amount of stress in their life can potentially make them sick. If the number's high, that means they can tolerate the stress in their life. They probably won't get sick. It's like the person who owns a business. I mean, you're a perfect example. You're running your practice and your podcast. You've got your hands full, and you're managing the business side and you're managing the patient side, the clinical side. So you've got a lot on your plate. So then let's say someone says, hey, we're going on vacation on Friday, you know, and today being Tuesday, you're like, oh my God, I got to get a lot done between now and Friday so I can go on vacation for a week. You'll probably do 3 times the amount of work you normally do in the same amount of time that you would have done it in. And so you get to vacation, and then when the fight or flight syndrome goes down, you'll realize you've caught a cold. Yeah. And all of a sudden you've got a little cold or a sinus infection in paradise on vacation. Why? Because the week before you worked 3 times as hard as you normally did, and you didn't rest enough. Heart rate variability can warn us about that. And then heart rate variability, when you look at it, it can tell you if your body is chronically in fight or flight or chronically in rest and repair. Now, I know that the correct term is rest and digest, but I like the word repair because I also, I see a lot of patients who are in pain. You know, they sprain their neck, they sprain their back, they've got chronic pain, and repair happens in parasympathetic as well. And so if someone is chronically stuck in fight or flight, we can give them the absolute best adjustment, feed them the right food. You know, I've heard you talk about how if you're stressed while you're eating lunch, that lunch is not going to be healthy for you. And it's going to sit in your stomach longer, and it's going to ferment, and it's just not going to be healthy. And that's an absolute fact. You've got to get your mind into rest and repair before you start eating your lunch. Take a second, say a prayer of gratitude, put your work aside, and maybe play some Baroque classical music just to, you know. But you know, the best thing is the French paradox. The French are immune to heart disease because they eat red wine, cheese, and chocolate and bread with every meal, you know, and they don't get sick. They don't get heart attacks. So, like us in America, if we eat cheesecake 2 days in a row, we get a heart attack, but they don't. So why are they? And I believe the reason they're immune is because eating is so sacred to them. they take off 3 hours in the middle of the day to go home and have lunch. And they eat lunch with friends and family. They don't eat it alone. And they have a conversation. In fact, if you look this up, if you don't believe me, in kindergarten, they tell the kids, what do we tell kids in kindergarten? We say, stop talking, eat your food. Mm-hmm. In France, they say, stop eating so fast, talk to your friends. The exact opposite. Those kids are never going to have a heart attack. Those kids are going to enjoy their meal, because even if it's not extremely healthy food, but it's eaten in a healthy environment, your physiology knows how to handle some of those toxins. But if you're driving in your car, yelling at the person who cut you off, talking on the phone, late for your next business meeting, you're just trying to get the food. You can eat all the healthy food in the world and it won't be healthy for you. It'll still make you sick because you're in fight or flight. So critical to do those tests, to set those, figure those parameters. And then we get to use those parameters to see if the adjustments we're giving our patients are working.
Oh, that was the best explanation that I've ever heard about that. Cause I'm like, the little bars that go here and here. Cause that's, you know, for folks that are listening to this, you see these bars of what energy amount is coming out of the myogram. But like that, now it makes sense to me, because at first I was like, we're measuring what again? But now I get it. That like clears up a lot of things for me, to the point where I'm like, wow, everyone should be seeing a chiropractor that has one of these devices so that they can tell like legitimately how crazy is your nervous system, but also to tell like the certain areas that are blocked where we need to focus. Because correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, you can get an adjustment, but we also need to think about some strengthening in those areas and working on your posture at the same time.
100%, 100%. It's so critical. Physical therapy is important part of this. And we work with our local physical therapists around here where, you know, we say, hey, let's take away some activity so we can realign the spine. But once we get it aligned in the right position, now you got to go do the physical therapy to build around the new alignment. A lot of times people do the exercises before they get the alignment and they strengthen around a misaligned spine, it makes it more permanent and it's harder to fix. So it's almost like, hey, let's take some activity away, stop exercising, get this done a few times, then let's go exercise around that new spine.
That's a really good point. I see that happening over and over again. And then you add stress on top of it and someone's not able to heal. So now we have someone who's seeing chiropractic, maybe acupuncture, maybe massage and PT, four things and nothing's working.
Exactly.
I'm sure we've seen, I mean, I'm guessing that that's what brought you to working on the Stress Proof Life book, seeing patients not getting better day in, day out.
Yeah, absolutely. And not understanding, you know, the exact physiology of how things go, being afraid of the stress, trying to avoid stress. See, if you want to do something amazing in your life, you're going to face stress. If you want to grow your family, there's going to be stress. If you're single and you want to get married, trust me, there's going to be stress. If you're married, you want to have kids, trust me, there's going to be stress. So the thing is, get stronger, just train for it, train like a prize fighter trains for the next fight, you know, prepare for it mentally, physically, emotionally, chemically, prepare for what's coming and get ready so that you can do it. Because, you know, whether you have a dream or a goal or a vision or anything that you want, the reason people fail, the reason they quit or fail is because they realize they can't handle the stress that comes with it. Otherwise, everybody would go do great things, amazing things. But everybody should. We have that adaptive potential. We just got to tap into it and use the right things. You've talked about visualization, simple breathing techniques, sunlight. But, you know, obviously don't get burned. I'm not advocating skin cancer. But making sure the melatonin levels are proper in your body. Naturally, cool your house down, make it dark a little bit. You know, there's so many things you could be doing. Music is huge for increasing your ability to tolerate stress. Obviously, exercise, nutrition. And then when it comes to chiropractic, the research and the data shows that anytime there's a spinal issue that's affecting nervous system, there's a sympathetic response. So your body instantly goes into fight or flight on a low level, and it stays there until that misalignment is corrected. Not only that, that misalignment can lead to degenerative changes over time. Just like if I put my elbow in a cast and never move it, those bones will grow together and fuse. Well, if two bones in my neck aren't moving properly, bone spurs will form and start to grow together. So mobility is important. The reasons we adjust, there's three reasons we always adjust the spine. One is to realign, to make sure it's in proper, efficient alignment. Number two is to unlock a locked joint so they can move properly, proper range of motion. But the third one is the powerful one. That's the one that stimulates the brain. There's functional MRI studies where they adjust the big toe of a person who's misaligned in the spine, and all kinds of different brain centers light up. Then they correct the alignment, and then they have them wiggle their toe or something, and only one spot in the brain lights up, which is called efficiency. You don't need all those other activities happening. So it improves the efficiency of the body. Incidentally, that's how we help a lot of kids with ADHD as well.
That's what I was going to get to, the connection with the adjustments and ADHD, because kids, but I also think like probably one out of every 5 to 10 patients I see will tell me they've got ADHD. And I go, is it really that common? Or do we have some physiological things right going on in that component? So tell us a little bit about treating kids or adults with ADHD, and what's your protocol? How does it work? I'm curious, because I think a lot of people struggle with ADHD. You don't want to take the medications, but they're kind of lost as to what's my next step. Do I change diet up again? Do I do this? Do I that? I want to know what you're doing.
I think 50% of Americans have some form of ADHD, 50%. And I think it goes all the way back to when people came to America, you know, originally the colonists and all of them, because you have to have some ADHD. You have to have an adventurous personality, leave your home and move to a place that doesn't even have a country or anyways. So if we're all descendants of that, and then the immigrants as well, you know, so basically we're all immigrants in some way or form, and you got to have some ADHD to do something like that. But what ADHD is the most important part. You see, a lot of times the word the H stands for hyperactivity, and that's a misnomer. They are not hyperactive. They are hypoactive. And let me explain what I mean. You know, when you take a top and you spin it really fast on a flat surface, the faster it spins, the more steady it is. It starts to wobble when it starts to slow down. When it's not spinning as fast, it wobbles. So the nervous system is constantly talking to the brain. Right now, if you're sitting there listening to this, you don't have to look down at your knees to tell me if they're bent or straight. You know they're bent. How do you know? Because I put them there. No, it's because your knee talks to your brain on a regular basis, right? Your toes, every joint in your body is sending a signal to the brain at least every second. And the brain is like this overprotective mother who wants to know where every body part is. And if any body part doesn't talk to the brain makes that area hypersensitive. If you've ever had your foot fall asleep and you go, oh, I can't feel my foot, the brain says, I can't feel the foot. Let's make it really sensitive. So then light touch turns into pins and needles. All of a sudden you touch your foot that's fallen asleep, it feels like pins and needles. And as you move it, there's all this sensitivity. You're like, oh, it feels weird when I move it. But then what do you do to get rid of it? You move it, because every motion of every joint sends input to the brain. Now, the brain needs this much, let's say a certain amount of input to it to be calm and relaxed. If there is something blocking flow of neurologic input, afferent input to the brain says, I got to move those joints so that I can get that input. So at rest, they're not getting enough input to the brain. So they have to tap their foot all the time. They have to run around all the time. They have to play with things. They have to fidget, because every activity increases input to the brain. Their nervous system is hypotonic, hypoactive. And so when we adjust to remove the pressure from the nervous system and allow that flow to be normal, all of a sudden they can calm down. Have you ever wondered why Ritalin, a stimulant, calms them down? It doesn't calm them down. It stimulates them, but it brings them from down here to up here. So at rest, their body is working higher to send enough input to the brain so that they don't have to tap their foot and run around and fidget with things. They can relax. The brain is receiving the right amount of information.
Huh. I had to take notes on that, because that's an incredible explanation for it. But it makes a lot of sense, because when I look deeper into the physiology of folks, that even some folks that have taken high doses of medication, maybe it's Concerta, maybe it is the ADHD, the Ritalins and things, I'm finding that underneath all of it, we're looking at an adrenal kind of burnt out situation, usually history of chronic trauma or some type of ACE, so adverse childhood event, or something that triggered it in that case. So very interesting in terms of a hypofunctioning individual neurologically.
Exact same, exactly what you said is you support their adrenals and they're going to act better. Mm-hmm. 100%. And you go, why would more adrenaline make them calm? Trust me, it does. They need it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it makes all, it's just like makes all the sense in the world why a lot of people end up going more and more meds when they're not, you know, feeling, and they're not feeling better because we're not going after the right thing in this department. Oh man. So many good things out of this podcast. I took a whole bunch of notes. So folks who are listening, guys, head over to drjcrossnd.com for all of the show notes with my interview here with Dr. Amir. So we got to talk about the book and where folks can find it. I know I saw it on Amazon. So just heading over to Amazon. Does it also have the Audible version or are we just paperback? I didn't get into the details.
I self-published that one. So it's just paperback right now. It is on Amazon, The Stress-Proof Life, The Secret to Health, Wealth, and Happiness. I recently wrote a part two to it, which is almost like a rewrite of the same one. This one is called Tame Your Stress Monkey. And
I like it.
I'm working on a third book about how entrepreneurs feel like they have to choose between health and money. And so I want to create, take away the confusion that health is worthless unless you're going after your dreams. So you've got to make sure you pursue the things that you love doing, go after your dreams, go get what you want, work hard for it, but just make sure you're prepared and trained for it. So that'll be the third book coming out eventually. But the second one is signed with an agent. I don't know when it'll get published, hopefully soon. But the first one's on Amazon. And then I have, you know, our YouTube channel is called Real Chiropractic. Lots of videos on that. There's videos on the things we talked about today. And I have a couple of websites. One is drrashidian.com and the other is midatlanticclinic.com.
Okay. So we can find you all different places, which is excellent. YouTube, I love. I mean, you're a fabulous speaker and so informative. I'm blown away. I learned a lot today. I have a whole page literally of notes that I've been quick scribbling down. So I think this is going to be, it's going to be good for folks because I think there's just a huge disconnect in terms of the stress and how we manage it. We're not taught in school what to do. And so being able to think about training for stress and dealing, you know, in a way that it makes sense to folks. We train for a marathon. Well, then we need to be prepared for anything that's thrown at us. So we train ourselves to manage stress better. I mean, that's perfect for getting that stress-proof life. So I love it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I do want to chat more when your next books are out, because especially the one for entrepreneurs, because I don't know how many people, myself included, I have put myself, you know, in some serious trouble with my health because of trying to push my career forward and all kinds of things. And I know that I'm not alone. So we got to talk about that.
You got it. You got it. I look forward to that.
Perfect.
Hey, Health Junkies, I hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you want to continue the conversation based on what topic I'm talking about at any given time on the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix. It's where we are talking about what's going on in health, what I'm talking about in the podcast, and I love to answer questions there. So come hang out and join the conversation. And by the way, right now I have a free Manage Your Stress Naturally course that you can grab on my website at drjkrausnd.com, because so many people are stressed out right now. And really, it has to do with the basics, your routines and simple habits that are messing you up. So head on over to drjkrausnd.com and go check out my free course on managing stress naturally. All right, folks, have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.